This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0, and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Friday, which means it's time for Unsportsmanlike Conduct with your hosts, Adam Hill and Ed Green.
Hey, welcome into Unsportsmanlike Conduct of the Vegas Nation podcast, brought to you by Favor Shots. We're your hosts, Ed Graney and Adam Hill, and we're here each week to give you some thoughts on the Las Vegas Raiders before acting the part of fools when discussing matters of entertainment and other insignificant topics we find interesting. Adam, this week is no different.
Here's the problem this week is that there's just so many things happening.
On the insignificant entertaining side of things.
Even that overlap with football. Like, there's so many things that are going on, like... We're sitting here monitoring Twitter. Like, things are changing every minute. We've got things we want to talk about. And like, oh, now we got to do this because these are happening. It's a crazy time.
I want to go Raiders first before we get into the fun stuff. So Max Crosby, talked to him this week. And I thought it was interesting. His second year defensive end, led him in sacks last year with 10. Really good player. But I was interested in, we've talked before about how he said, I'm coming at it from Mahomes. We know against Green Bay last year in Lambeau, we were there. He did the discount double check after sagging Rodgers. And he says he's going to be a leader. He wants to be the guy. He doesn't care if he takes grief for it. He's a second-year person. You know what? They need leaders, man. They need leaders on defense. And I don't really care if it's a second-year guy, if the guy can get it done. I mean, when you hear Max Crosby talk this way, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they need those guys to step up. As we've talked about a lot, it's a young defense, especially in the defensive backfield. Very young, pretty young along the defensive line. You know, you've got now veterans that you're mixing in, like Carl Nassib that you brought in, who you would expect to be kind of that veteran presence. The linebacking core, I think you look at a guy like Littleton, a guy like Kwiatkowski, like those guys are going to be leaders naturally just because that's kind of the role of linebackers and they've been in the league for a while. But, you know, there is room for guys to step up and to, you know, to assert themselves in that spot. Max Crosby seems like a natural kind of guy to do that. He also is the kind of guy that I feel needs to be productive to be, you know, that kind of a leader. And he was last year. Obviously, the sack totals were there. The performance was there. He has come in to Las Vegas. And if you're listening from Las Vegas, I'm sure that, you know, you have seen him around. Mm-hmm. He's everywhere. If you're listening outside the market, you might not realize like how much he has ingratiated himself to this community already. You see him all over the place, every event that's going on. There's not a lot during this era, but any event, he's always at UFC fights. He's always, you know, at any kind of
donating food, any kind helping of kids in hospitals, all
that stuff. So he's doing all the charity work. Like, he's come into Las Vegas. He almost has been like, hey, I want to be this guy.
Right.
Like,
he wants to be
the
guy.
Oh, you've got an opportunity to do this? I want to do that.
Right.
There's a car dealership appearance? I want to do that. There's a charity thing? I want to do that. Like, he's just kind of taking on that role. And you know, I think it's going to, you know, he's going to have to do it on the field again to continue to embrace that spot. But, you know, I think that he's doing everything the right way right now as long as he can follow it up. But, man, it is tough to follow up a rookie season like that, especially one that comes from out of nowhere with a second year that's just
well
as good.
Now they'll have film on him and they'll be able to, you know, scheme him better. So you're right about the back end. So I think that means the line better perform and get and bring some pressure, or they're going to get perhaps, you know, just really hurt on the back end at least early. So tell me what you think of this line. So you talked about Crosby, Cleveland Furrell's making a big deal about he's up to 275. They bring in Nassib, they bring in Malik Collins, Maurice Hurst is back. Does Arden Key get better? You have Jonathan Hankins. So as a whole, when you look at the defensive front, what are your thoughts? I mean, this defense last year metrically ranked between 30 and 32. They were awful in most metrics. So can the line, if it's that much better, help, you know, the young guys on the back end?
Yeah, and that's what you need. I mean, I think you're going to have the defensive backfield making a lot of plays, but also having times when there's, you know, lack of communication. We saw that last year in the Chiefs game where they played well in the first quarter and then could not cover anybody in the second because right. nobody knew where anybody was supposed to be. Like, I think you're going to see those things happening quite a bit, probably more than you would hope, especially sure. with no time on the field this off, you know, this
yeah, that's
off
the other
season.
Thing. No practice time.
So, yeah, I think you're going to have to generate a pass rush, whether that's with the front four or blitzing, whatever you do. You're going to have to generate a pass rush to help those guys out. Not that they're not talented. I think you're going to see them play well at times. You're going to see that talent show up. But it's the consistency that's going to be helped by generating a pass rush. And you know, I feel like every year up until this year, like we've always said, well, the X factor is Arden Key. If Arden Key,
yeah, Arden Key.
If he can take that next step that everybody
Arden
expects,
Key is a big if.
Yeah, if he can take that next step, like he's the guy.
Yeah,
I don't think that's the case. I think we kind of have seen flashes of what Arden Key can be, but I don't think you're going to go into the season hoping he's the X factor. I think it's Cleveland Furl.
No, Cleveland Furl's the guy, right? Because right. last year you draft him 4 overall. I'm sorry, at that point you draft him as a rush end. He's better against the run against the pass than the pass last year. He is,
but also he was playing out of position at times.
True.
Where they were forced to move him inside because right. of injuries and because of a lack of depth and everything else. And here's the other thing, and you know, I had a little bit of a conversation with him. Like, he's not making excuses, but he did have a really, really bad bout with food poisoning last year. He was down to like 245.
Which is amazing, given he says he's now up to 275.
Yeah, he lost a lot of weight, and he just couldn't get that strength back.
Yeah, 245 was, playing that spot's hard.
And trying to learn on the job, it was an uphill battle all the way. So I think he's a guy that could take a big step. Like, he's going to have to take a huge step to justify where he was picked.
Right.
And that's always what he's going to be measured against.
He's always
going to
be measured on the fourth overall, yeah. especially given some of the guys they passed on specifically at his spot that he was 4 overall.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's going to be, I think, a major factor for how the defensive line performs, how the defense performs. Can Cleveland Furl take a step forward and, you know, and be the guy that they hope he can be? He doesn't have to all in one season justify the fourth pick, but he does have to get closer to that kind of production.
You looking back, you thinking of Eddie Oliver?
I think you're thinking of a lot of guys.
Thinking a lot of guys.
Well, so, I think you're thinking you could have got him late in the first round.
Oh yeah. Well,
where you know you
they
drafted
did the same
Abram
thing with Arnett this
Jacobs?
Year though. A lot yeah. of people said he was a second round guy. Look, if it works out, it works out. And Mayock looks as a genius. And if it doesn't work out, the Kansas City Chiefs will be smarter as they usually are.
And I don't think you have to be a slave to what other people say, what analysts say, any of those things. You know, Damon Arnett was projected in a lot of spots as a third round pick. The Raiders really, really wanted him. They had him right there on their board. That's a guy that they grabbed.
Was interesting. The Chiefs this week were able to sign both the quarterback and their star defensive player. It doesn't happen everywhere.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are all just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.
Let's get to some of the entertaining stuff. You and I talked about this the whole week. It is a major
story. You don't think defensive line breakdown is entertaining?
It's somewhat entertaining. I'm glad you brought up Arden Key. So here we go. Let's go to London. I've been wanting to talk to you about this all week, and it's just off the charts lunacy.
Before you even start this, though, here I want to explain to people. You're going to hear on this podcast, we will talk a lot of entertainment topics.
Yes.
The thing, Ed does better than you would expect with pop culture. Like, you would think... Like,
what does that mean?
I mean, if you, like, your musical knowledge is garbage.
Zero.
It's
like
zero.
It's zero.
And I think, like, you know, most people would assume you probably have very little pop culture knowledge or interest.
Why would they assume that?
I don't know. I'm just really looking at you. I don't know.
What?
But you have two college-age kids.
I do.
So you...
We're very up on this.
Right. So you know a lot more than I think people would assume. I'm saying, me too. I think most people would think, like, I don't know anything. I just watch sports and do... No, like, I am obsessed with all these pop culture
yes.
things. So mostly, if we do a story like you're about to introduce,
right.
it would be me. It would be me
but
saying...
But I'm obsessed with this story.
That's what I'm getting at. Normally, this story would be something that I would be talking about 24 hours a day, and you would be like, okay, I guess we can talk about this. Like, let me know what's going on the... You have been...
I love this story.
...texting me about this.
I can't get enough
constantly.
Of this. I can't get
it's
enough.
It's amazing.
It's Johnny Depp, as we all know.
Sure.
So a London tabloid, The Sun, London newspaper, had a huge headline about Johnny Depp that he was a wife beater.
From the fact that his ex, Amber Heard,
said she got
called
beaten.
Him, it got a restraining order against him.
Four or five times she said.
Said that he did it.
Yes.
And then so they, The Sun, took the liberty saying, hey, she accused him of being a wife beater. We're going to call him a wife beater in a headline. And he has sued them for defamation saying, I never touched her.
Gilbert Grape, a wife beater. But here's the thing.
Wait, that's the Johnny Depp you know?
Scissors Hands, Ed Wood.
Okay.
I thought Donnie Brasco was pretty good. I'm going to ask you a little later
if
this guy's...
Most people go Pirates of the Caribbean now.
Jack Sparrow. But I got to ask you later on if you think this kid's overrated. I got to get to the good stuff here. Well, look, we're going to take it over here and say if he ever laid a hand on her, he's completely wrong. He should be prosecuted. I'm all for that. But I'm going to put that over to the side because there's too much lunacy otherwise. This has become like a competition between these two, between the ex-wife and Depp, of just going at each other with insanity, with crazy stuff. Depp, who was...
Hold on. I don't think they're going after... I think they're just telling what actually happened.
We hope that's true.
Yes, I think
we hope
all these things
happened.
Are crazy.
We hope this stuff happened. He was on the stand 23 hours in the last week. Let's go to what she says. She produces a picture of this kid passed out, holding a tub of melted ice cream all over him, and she says, look what happened to you. Look how pathetic you've become. The best part is, in testimony, this kid says, it was me, I had the ice cream, but you know what? I was on the way to rehab, I was high. So he admits...
He also said he'd been filming at like 4 in the morning every day, and he was
tired. Well, that's his life. What does he say? He's an actor. Get over it. He admits that's him with the ice cream, but he says, it's okay because I was on my way to rehab.
Okay, first of all, there's so many other layers of the story. I will say this. I looked at the photo and I was like, that's just living your best life, right? You pass out just hanging out on the couch eating ice cream? Isn't that how we all want to spend every night? I didn't have a problem with the ice cream photo.
You've been to my house. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I'd like to spend my 24 hours a day. So don't worry about the picture, because when I woke up, I was on a plane anyway. I think he was going to the Barbados. What's that? The leader in rehab now? Barbados?
Sure.
He's going down there for that?
Go.
Isn't that where the Ottawa Senators, that weirdo, he owns his island down there.
Melnick.
That lunatic. He owns an island down there.
I wouldn't talk about owning islands. I think that's kind of taboo now.
See? We got the picture.
Yeah,
that mouth's open. Yeah. The big tub of ice cream. The ice cream's all over him. She kind of ripped him. She took the shot, and that's what I want to ask you later. She goes, look what you've become. Maybe this kid was never good to begin with.
That's the dream. I aspire to pass out eating ice cream every night.
You know what's not the dream? And this is what he countered with. We know it. It's been headlines. Oh, boy, the tabloids in London must eat this up. He accused her of him waking up and her having, what's the proper way of saying
defecated
this?
Defecated in his bed. Yes.
I look at it both ways.
They brought the maid in to testify that she found it.
That she found the defecation?
Yeah.
The feces?
Ugh, just so
I wanted gross. To ask you all week, though, because I respect your opinion. Is this a deal breaker for you? Like, if you're dating a woman and there's deal breakers in terms of when you have to break up.
You don't even have to go.
If she goes, for a lack of better word, she can't get to the bathroom. Poor kid. Maybe she's like, you know, passed out or something. She wakes up. It's a new house. She doesn't know if you turn left or go down one corner. She says, let's get it done here. Where is the line you draw? Where is the line you draw when dating woman in terms of, I can't go beyond this? Or can you say, you know what? Okay, so it was one time. You had to do your business. I love you anyway. We're going to get past this. Is there a line there?
I think when you see the line... You know it. That's okay. That's the line. Now, first of all, the accusation is not. Listen, if she has a problem, okay, like we can deal with it.
Bodily function problem?
The accusation is that she either did it on purpose. It was her 30th birthday party. Either did it on purpose as a prank, or her friend did it as a prank, which is even weirder.
DNA testing. How do you know?
I don't think we need to go that far. I think as he said, he was like, all right, that was the day I knew our marriage sucked. But like, okay, this is probably over. That's what he said. He realized it.
Like, did he wake up to that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a tough one. Boy, it's a tough one. I don't know. Depends on how much you love her, I guess. Maybe the kid had a problem. I don't know.
No,
maybe,
you know, it was a prank. She said it was hilarious. He said it was hilarious. He sent a text message saying, this is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
But he knew at that point, if she's doing that in the bed, I got to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's probably fair.
So your ultimate call on Depp and the feces, I mean, your ultimate call, we named some of the things. Jack Sparrow, Ed Wood, Edward Scissorhands. He was Donnie Brasco. He was in Benny and June and the pirate movies. Underrated, overrated, or what we thought of
as
this guy?
As an actor?
Yeah.
Or as a person?
Well, we know he's a person. He's a complete lunatic. But I mean, other than that.
I think he's a tremendous actor.
You do think so?
I don't particularly like any of his movies necessarily. Edward Scissorhands is fine.
I think that was his best role just because of how hard it was to play.
Sure. He's obviously a very, very talented actor. You watch him.
So none of
this
has changed your mind on it?
No, I mean, like, give me like a slapstick comedy and then, you know, I'll check it out.
Okay, so the girlfriend or the wife and all this stuff. Other than, and again, we have to preface this. We are putting the allegations of abuse to the side, because if he ever did that, it's wrong. We're not. When this is what we have to come back into the entertaining world and put that aside. And if that happened and they prove it, okay, then he's got more issues to deal with. But we're just going on the drunken rehab pooping side, where we believe that this guy does all that take away from his acting ability.
No, I think that's what makes you a great actor.
That your woman can't get to the bathroom? This is what makes you a great actor?
It's all the weirdness. We have a friend. I won't say his name. I could probably tell stories about him for 10 hours. We could just turn the mics on, tell stories about how insane this person is for 10 hours. He's one of the most talented. He's a radio host. One of the most talented people I've ever been around in my life. He socially cannot even handle a conversation. He can't handle a relationship, anything. He's so out there and bizarre, but that's what makes him so good and so talented as a radio host. I think it's the same in the acting
world. With someone like Depp,
yeah,
you got to have your weirdness to make
you
good.
You can't just be a normal person, have a normal conversation, and then go out there and do the acting roles that he does.
Maybe that's what Aniston, she's always done the same role. She's not crazy enough off stage.
Yeah,
you know, Jennifer Aniston.
She's
never changed, but the roles are all the same.
She never thinks out of
the comfort zone. I don't want to end with our 60 seconds, because I want you introducing this next story, which is we're going to stay in the entertainment and celebrity world here. But this was another crazy story with Will and Jada Smith. What happened on this podcast?
So it's very weird. First of all, it was an interview with a host from The Breakfast Club, which we just said your pop culture knowledge is up and down. The Breakfast Club is like the top radio show in the country.
Thought that was a Rob Lowe movie.
Well, different one.
Okay.
So right now,
Molly Ringwald was in that.
Sure.
I've got great knowledge of like the 70s and 80s. After 80, I don't know what the hell.
Yes, for sure. So Angela Yee from The Breakfast Club was doing an interview with a singer, August Alsina, who nobody really knows anything about.
Never heard of him till now.
A friend of Will and Jada Smith's kid.
Okay.
He, you know, became friends with the family. And then he says, entered into an affair with Jada.
Wait a minute. Jada went with the younger guy.
Yes. But he also, the biggest part of this, because everybody suspected that for a long time. I know you probably didn't even know who these people were. Everybody suspected that there was an affair for a long time. What he said is that he went to Will Smith and said, hey, is this cool? And Will Smith's like, yeah, go ahead.
Like, can I borrow your car for a day?
Yes, is
this what he's talking about?
Yes.
Can I borrow some hammers? I'm doing some construction at the house. He said, is this cool? I'm sleeping with your wife?
Essentially. So that's the story he told. There's a lot of denials from PR people and everything else. But then Jada has a show on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just basically a sit-down interview show. And she had Will on, and they did like kind of an answer to this.
Will was asking the questions.
Yes, and they were just having a conversation about it. And it was very weird and very awkward. And the biggest thing everybody took out of this, which is odd, is that she never really said she had an affair. She said it was a friendship, and then it became an entanglement. So
it's like what you say when you go to the bathroom in someone's bed. It's kind of somewhat of an entanglement.
I don't think that's different. But the entanglement has become like the buzzword now. Everybody's talking
for
about entanglements. Just for any sort of relationship, like I think everybody's changing their Facebook status now to in an entanglement or not an entanglement. Like it's just become the thing now. It's blowing up everywhere.
I thought, though, I was up enough on these people, enough on Google, like back in the day, that they have always disputed whether or not they have an open relationship.
Yes.
I thought that was a big thing with Will and Jada Smith. Oh, we're open.
They said we have an adult relationship.
Yeah.
Is it an open relationship?
Adult.
It's an adult relationship. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not around them. But again, what do we say? Talented people, actors, weird things. They're just weird people.
I listened to the link. What about her when she says, we ride together, we die together, bad marriage for life? I know it's the ride together, it's pimping off the bad boys.
Yes,
with the ride, but
that's exactly
bad marriage for life. How healthy can this be?
Instead of bad boys for life, it's bad marriage for life. They're just quoting the movie.
Why is this healthy, though?
It's not. They're putting on a show. That's their actors. That's what they do.
Did you not tell me that when he said you had an affair and she said yes, he said, I've got to get revenge? He goes, oh, you've had plenty of revenge.
Oh, yeah.
She threw that kid under the bus for having affairs.
For sure. Absolutely. It's just a weird thing. I'm just obsessed with entanglement. Entanglement being the new word for a relationship. I'm all in on that. I think that's good.
Then your next relationship you have, I say, what are you doing? You're like, I'm in an entanglement.
Well, most of them have been entanglements, to be honest with you.
You are the definition of an entanglement, to tell you the truth.
It's only fair.
Yes, I will tell everyone on Adam's relationship status, he is the definition of entanglement.
It's always some sort of entanglement.
We're going to follow all these stories. And by the way, next week, we are hoping to have a Washington Redskins story. If you want some crazy stuff about cheerleaders and Daniel Snyder and the craziness that went on there, we are crossing our fingers. This story comes out.
Should I read? So I don't know how many people still use TweetDeck. I'm obsessed with using TweetDeck. I think it's the best way to use Twitter. Should I read people what my TweetDeck search columns are right now?
About the Washington Redskins?
I'm not saying what it's about.
Right.
Because I don't want to be, I don't want to get ahead of things. I'm not going to say what this is about. I'm just saying the things I'm searching for on my TweetDeck right now are cheerleaders, prostitutes.
Well, I'm going to, there's my line. The line has been drawn.
Dan Snyder?
Anything on him, I'd like to read.
I'm not going to say the other one.
All right. So we're following that story. As good journalists
are my search columns, and they are all having to do with one story.
One story.
It's not my usual search columns. I'm not just searching those things randomly.
Well.
That is right now how my search columns are set as we await some sort of explosive NFL story. Who knows? I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that's what I'm searching for.
You one of those kids who clear the Google history?
No. Huh? I'm the only one using my computer.
Well, that's not what we heard coming up. That'll do it for our latest edition of Unsportsmanlike Conduct of the Vegas Nation podcast, presented by Favorshot. Remember now, there are new episodes of Vegas Nation every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Just subscribe to Vegas Nation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcasting app. You can also support our show. Come on and do it. Get us out of here if you don't by leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And you can find all of our coverage at VegasNation.com. For Adam, Mr. Entanglement, I'm Ed. Talk to you next week.